I'll be reading John 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of the truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Good morning. Welcome. Visitors, we're glad to have all of you with us, and there are several. And we've got a lot of folks out. We've got the flu running through some folks, which is bad news. And then just got some others that are out. And so we're having a fellowship meal today. As soon as I get through preaching, which is a bad place to be between you and lunch, which is where I am most every week, but more immediately so today. So I thought we'd have more folks. But I know just a lot going on, but we're glad all of you are here. And again, after our service in a few moments, we're going to have fellowship meal in fellowship hall. Read my lips. Everyone is invited. The reason I say that is sometimes you say, well, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know. I didn't bring anything. I don't feel like I said. There'll be plenty of food. Stay. And just be a part of that. If you just don't have somewhere pressing, you have to be. Stay with us. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. If you don't, it won't last that long. but stay. You're welcome. You're just welcome, and you'll honor us if you stay. That's for visitors and members as well. Stay, because like I said, there'll be plenty, and we'll put together what's over there. But there's always plenty. So just stay and be a part of that. And let's enjoy that fellowship time together today. I want to just make an announcement. Not that I'm going to make all the announcements, but Faye Sliger passed away. Now, that may not mean a lot of you that name, but she is Sam and Earlene DeLay's daughter. And they have been here many, many times. Died rather unexpectedly. But her funeral will be in Sweetwater, but her burial will be here at the Milton Cemetery, and that will be on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. But the family's going to meet here at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. And they've asked if we could bring drinks and maybe desserts for that. So if you can help with that, and those of you who know that family, if you could come to that graveside service, you're certainly invited. The family wanted to make sure that you knew that you're welcome to come be a part of that. But they are going to come. We're not going to supply all of the food for that because her daughter's in-laws live in Lebanon and they really wanted to be a part of that, but we're going to furnish a place and drinks and cups and forks and plates and desserts. So if you can help with that, we'd certainly appreciate that on Tuesday. In fact, the clock on the wall came from Miss Sliger's dad, Mr. Sam DeLay. When we first built this building, Mr. Slam was in his 90s. Crawled up in the back of his truck with the camper top and brought out this clock. I don't know what all he had. And it was kind of like, let's make a deal. What do you got in your purse? But he had that clock, and so we still use that clock that Mr. Sam brought in. And for those of you, just to give you history so you know who this is, Miss Earlene, Miss Sliger's mother, was a sister to Desi and Virgie and Miss Ruby Davenport. They're all that same family. They were Willards. And so that's how that family connects with our community. Some of you who are newer, those names may not be familiar, but those of you who have been around this community very long certainly know those folks. And then so Terry Davenport, for those of you who might have known him from teaching school and doing things in Smyrna, would be a first cousin to Mr. Sliger. And that's all the history. That's all the genetics I'm going to give you today. But so you know who these folks are. And again, wanted to come back to Milton to be buried, and I can absolutely understand why, He might as well be in the New Jerusalem to start with, hadn't you? So we're going to talk today for just a moment. And it ties a little bit into our study of Acts, as we see as John quotes Jesus here. What did Jesus say he was going to follow after he ascends back into heaven? The Spirit, right? And last week we saw the Spirit come on Cornelius, right? The Gentile, that the Spirit had come not only on Jews but on Gentiles. But the Spirit of God was going to come and lead us in the truth. But it's kind of a simpler sermon today. And I just want to share with you kind of where I came from on this, and hopefully that you'll get it. Here's the truth. Not all of us are as intelligent as others of us. Y'all told me it's just a fact, right? And sometimes we're intelligent in different ways. That's a fact too. Some of us can grasp certain things, and other things just absolutely go right over our heads, right? I mean, and that's the way it is. And then some of us just aren't extremely intelligent. And I don't mean that as an insult. It just is a fact. And sometimes when working with folks that don't grasp concepts that come easy to you, it's easy to get frustrated, isn't it? You ever get frustrated? You know, you should, because there are other things that people can talk about that I won't ever get. I won't ever get. And I think about City Slickers, because I haven't watched a movie that was made since 1989. I haven't seen them. If they've made them, I don't know what they are. But anyway, you remember the guy, they're trying to tell him how to program the clock on the VCR. Remember in the thing? And he goes over and over and over. And finally, one guy goes, he ain't never going to get it. He said, the cows can program the VCR. He's not ever going to get it. He just wasn't going to grasp that concept. And, you know, from teaching school, one of the things, they're just concepts we grasp. Sometimes we don't. Doesn't make us bad people. I'm not being condescending at all. We're just not all given the same abilities or the same intellect. And that's perfectly okay. But I got to thinking. The gospel is meant for everybody. Not just folks with average or above intellect, but for folks with maybe less than average intellect. And so as I thought about that, I said, you know, this just isn't that tough. Sometimes we make it way too difficult. We make it way too complicated. We almost make it intimidating. I just don't know what other folks know, and I don't know all of these words. And that's, which is a good thing, you don't have to know all those words. Because I don't know all those words either. I would really like, I'll be honest with you, I would like to be able to know more about the Greek and even possibly the Hebrew. But I figured if I barely got through French, Greek and Hebrew was not in my future. I mean, that's just a fact. That's not a gift I have, gift of language. It's just not. So, you don't do it. So, the Greek and Hebrew, I don't know anything about. I'll be honest with you, when I see the three Greek letters on the back of somebody's car or whatever, because they're in a fraternity, I am pretty good at knowing what those letters are. Not from studying Greek, but from just having been in college. I kind of learned to recognize what those were. You know, and I always thought that, do you know the fraternity for the agriculture, this agricultural-leaning fraternity that many of my friends were in? Alpha Gamma Rho, AGR, agriculture. Isn't that neat? Pretty cool. AGR, Alpha Gamma Rho. They just say AGR because they don't know what Alpha Gamma Rho means either, which is all right. But that's about it. That's all I know. But I don't have to know that. I don't have to know that. It's not that complicated to follow Jesus and to be what God wants us to be. And that's all I want to talk about for just a moment today. I want to remove some of the intimidation, but I also want to encourage us, because it means that we need to be people about action. Houston, is there a slide you can put up for me? Just do it. What's that a slogan for? Nike, we all remember. Which is really interesting that I put this together because Nike is a Greek god, right? So I didn't put the Nike symbol up there. I thought about it. But just so you know, that did not, I was not oblivious to that. But we're not trying to bring in pagan religions. But that's all okay. I'll just acknowledge that that's who Nike is. If you didn't know that, if you thought that swoosh was developed and just put on a tennis shoe and they made that name up, no, no. And if you thought that, don't be embarrassed, you're probably a little less than average intelligence. No, I'm just teasing you. You just hadn't thought about that. Eddie, did you know that? Just do it. Just do it. If you didn't get nothing else, it's just about doing it. There's two things I want us to think about today. And the second one's going to be just do it. But the first one is, do we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, I'm not making fun of you, but if you don't, then the just do it, you can leave that up there a few minutes, Hoot. Doesn't mean a thing. Okay? That doesn't mean a thing if we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I think it's important for us to get that concept because for many people, it's not about faith, it's just about keeping the rules. But if we don't have faith in Jesus and who He is, we cannot be right by law or rules. It's not that complicated. I'm just telling you, you go read through the scripture and you'll get to the point. You can't. You cannot make yourself right with God. It's not possible. It is not possible to make yourself right with God. You cannot balance the scales. You cannot do enough good. You can't be benevolent enough. You can't be good enough. You can't be, I was going to say righteous, you can't even be righteous without faith. And that's important because very often we find ourselves struggling about doing. We're going to talk about doing because we got to be a doers, but it follows faith. It follows faith. And so, it's about believing in who Jesus is because the church is not a social club or a civic club. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those. I have been in civic clubs in the past. I'm not now because there's enough other things that I do. But I am in a social group. Have you ever heard of Sportsman's Club? I'm a member of the Sportsman's Club. We have no redeeming quality except we meet together to talk and eat. That's it. That's it. We got no other projects. That's it. We eat and we talk. That's all. But it's all right. And the church, we go eat and we're going to talk in a few minutes. But that's not what we're all about. And we're not just about being a benevolent group or a civic club. We are a community of believers who have been called to be children of God and part of the eternal kingdom by faith in Jesus. And when I say it, by believing in who He is. Not just who He was, but who He is. Because the fact is, Jesus said, I'm still living. Jesus is still alive. Jesus is ascended into heaven and He lives. He died and was raised from the dead to overcome the power of Satan. That you and I can overcome the power of death. And Jesus came and taught the things we need to know that we'll talk about more in just a second. And He gave His life as a sacrifice for sin. Because what are the wages of sin? Death. Y'all got that? The wages of sin is death. It's Bible. It's Bible. I can't remember the exact verse, but it's Bible. I shared with y'all, I've been listening to some tapes of Brother Marshall Keeble, and I've really enjoyed that. And Brother Keeble said, if my memory serves this to me right, this is where this is. If it's not, just read it and you'll run into it. So I can't remember. You read the scripture, you'll run into it. The wages of sin is death. There's no way around that. That's not metaphorical. It is a fact. It is exactly what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, was it not? If you disobey, you will surely die. There's no way around that. So Jesus died for our sin, because the payment for sin is death. And Jesus died it so you and died that death so you and I don't have to suffer that. Jesus is God's Son who became a man, who died on a cross, and whom God raised, who has gone to heaven, has gone to prepare a place for us, who has invited us into His kingdom, and He is the ruler. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. John will tell us in 1 John. He is the ruler of the kingdom that we have been invited into. We are heirs with Christ of eternal life. Joint heirs with Christ of eternal life. That's what the Scripture teaches. We could talk about that more. And if you have questions about any of that, talk to me about it. Talk to one of our shepherds about it. Talk about it, because that's important that we believe that these things are true. These things are true. That Jesus lives. That God is real and that Jesus lives. And that this world will not last forever. In fact, John says, grab on to the eternal life that is offered to us. Because this life and this world doesn't last. So don't get involved in the things of this world. Don't love this world, because it's not going to last, right? But hold on to eternal life that we have through Jesus. So it's about faith in Jesus, that Jesus existed and exists, that has been from the beginning, who is Lord of lords and King of kings, and will be the judge of all mankind. Will be the judge of all men. We will stand before Jesus in judgment and will give an accounting for what we have done. Now, I said we can't earn salvation, and that's true. That's true. Because guess what? To be pleasing to God and to enter to heaven, you have to be perfect. Some of you looked up. You have to be perfect. Perfect. Did you hear me? Perfect. Never doing anything wrong and doing everything right. That's a kicker too, isn't it? He who knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, what does the Scripture say? To him it is sin. To him it is sin. None of us are there. I hope you realize that. I hope you realize that. I've only run into two people in all my ministry that didn't realize that. Only two. Who really didn't think they'd ever done anything wrong. It's really bizarre, but sincerely and honestly, did not. That's a whole other issue. I'm not making fun, but you have to realize we can't be perfect. You might be good. By the world standards, you might be really good. But you're not perfect. So how do we stand perfect before God? Cleansed in the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. Okay? Cleansed in the blood of Jesus. That's it. There is nothing else. There is no substitute for that. There's nothing else you can do. Being cleansed in the blood of Jesus is it. That's the only way we stand perfect before God, is to be washed in the blood. Be washed in the blood. That's it. That's the only way. Because Jesus came and died for our sins and takes our sins away. Our sins are removed. We are washed. Isn't that wonderful? Elizabeth, if you get into something really dirty, do you wash more than once? That's a little bit of an inside story between me and Beth. But if you're getting something that's just really dirty, I feel like I gotta go take two or three showers, right? And go scrub my hands and clean under my nails and everything. You ever feel that way? Nothing is more dirtying to us than sin, and guess what? It's just the blood that cleanses us. It don't take three or four. It's the blood. It cleanses us. It is powerful enough to wash us and leave us white as snow, perfect before God. He calls on us to believe that and to know that and to be faithful to that. And then Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Just do it. Now, it is really helpful. And I admit this. If you know what was going on at the time that these things were written, it does make things a little easier to understand, doesn't it? Know the customs. I like that. I'll be honest with you. It does help me to know because they live there. But if you don't know a thing, if you can read or have somebody read to you and you're able to understand, and some people are not. They have such intellectual challenges that they are not. But if we're able to do that, we can follow what Jesus says because it's really not difficult to understand. Difficult to practice, but not difficult to understand. And sometimes we want to make it a little more difficult. Why? Because what it says plainly is awfully hard to deal with. Right? Still, one of my favorite lines from the Monty Python movie is where, you know, it's the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers. And it gets back through the crowd in the Monty Python movie, blessed are the cheesemakers. And the guy says, I think he's speaking figuratively of all producers of dairy products. Don't we do those kind of things? And I'm telling you, this was designed. What did they say about the apostles? They're Galileans. They're Galileans. There are no great rabbis in Galilee. There are no good schools in Galilee. These folks are fishermen and laborers. Nothing wrong with that, but they're not educated. The gospel through the centuries, at the time of Jesus till now, has mostly gone to illiterate people because most of the world has been illiterate. Just hasn't had the opportunity, right? But they're able to understand. They're able to understand. It's not that difficult. Read it and do it. Now, sometimes it's tough. And sometimes I'd like to kind of explain it away, wouldn't you? Be honest, you don't have to shake your head. I just assumed you didn't. But there's some things in there to say, this would be really great if I could just take this little section out or cut that out or modify that a little bit. But just read it and do it. Read it and do it. Because Jesus spoke in parables. Why? Why did he speak in parables? He tells the apostles why he spoke in parables. He said, you've been given the gift of understanding the kingdom. But I tell them in parables so that they can begin to grasp it and dwell on it and get these thoughts and learn more. Because they're not educated. They're not ignorant. They're not unable. They might be a little ignorant, might be the term. They're not stupid, for lack of a better term, but just so you get that, right? But they just need it explained to them where they can understand it and grasp it and just do it. It's not a problem of understanding. It's a problem of implementation. It's about just doing it. It's about just doing it. You know, we need to have classes where we learn more and sermons where hopefully we learn and we're encouraged. We need to read the scripture. But we just need to do it. Just what we learn, do it. And the more you do it, the more you learn. Just do it. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Don't get caught up in what you don't know. Do what you know. Because if you wait until you know everything, guess what? You'll always wait. Right? For those of us who are getting a little more age on us, you know, when we were 10, what did we know? Every doggone thing. I knew it before. My dad didn't go to kindergarten. There wasn't kindergarten when my dad was in school. So when I was in kindergarten, I said, "Dad, you go to kindergarten?" He said, "No, son, I didn't go to kindergarten." I said, "Well, I'm smarter than you." We know everything. We all knew everything. At 10 or some age in there, from 10 to whatever. 16, is that it? Yeah, 18. Some of us at 40 still think. But what happens to us? I'm overwhelmed at all the things out there to know I don't even have a clue about. I mean, there's so much out there that I just don't even have a clue about. It's just intimidating. So to know everything, even about the Bible, one will never know. I never read a scripture that I don't grasp something new and different out of it. Not that the doctrine changes, I just get a greater insight about it, right? But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't have been following the scripture and being about Jesus Christ because I didn't understand everything. It's just about doing it. Just about doing it. Don't be intimidated, just do it. That's simple enough, isn't it? Hard to practice. Just do it. Do what you know to do. Be about God's business. Be about what the Scripture teaches us. Be about what Jesus taught us. Because He came not only as a sacrifice, but He came, He is God as man, right? Who lived, how did Jesus live? We've used the word. Are we going to eat? We're going to nap this afternoon if you want to. But it's an awful nice day to nap. Sleep starting at 5:30 if you don't watch a ball game. What? How did Jesus live? This is important. Perfectly. Thank you. Perfectly. Jesus never sinned. Not anything He did or didn't do wasn't perfect. Wasn't exactly how righteousness is. He was God in the flesh, and He lived perfectly. That's important. We need to look at His life and His teachings because that's how man is supposed to live. That's how God calls us to live. Now, what's easy to say? Well, I'm not Jesus. I can't be perfect. Well, we've already determined that, right? But what should we strive to do? Be perfect. We should follow the teachings and example of Jesus. That's how we're called to live. And while we can't do that perfectly, we should not excuse ourselves from trying to follow the example of Jesus. These boys were pretty good athletes. Some of them in different fields, but they're pretty good athletes. But you know, they'll never be a Michael Jordan. But I've seen them on the ball court trying. Right? Yeah, trying. It's about following Jesus. The question today is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the fullness of who Jesus is? That Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus has always existed. He came to earth as a man to teach us how to live, to give His life as a sacrifice, and to be raised from the dead is the first fruits of all of us who will be raised from the dead. That He has ascended into heaven. That He is actively preparing a place for the children of God. And that He will return and remove us from this earth. Will bring about judgment and will bring destruction on evil and eternal life to the children of God. Do you believe that? It's not really more complicated than that. That's it. Do you believe it? And if you do, have you acted on it? We said, how do we be made perfect? By what? What makes us perfect? Jesus, what part of Jesus? The blood. The blood makes us perfect. How do we come in contact with the blood? Through baptism, right? It is the occasion where we come in contact with the blood, where we are cleansed and made whole, where we are washed in the blood. Just remember we talked about the blood over the doorpost in Egypt? Washed in the blood. If you believe, have you acted on it? And if you hadn't, are you ready? Because in just a moment, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. We'd encourage you to come. If you believe, and you have been willing to confess publicly your faith in Jesus, to be washed in His blood, are we doing it? Are we just doing it? There's a time to study, and there is. And it's important that we do. But it's a time we just do it, right? Just get out there and do it. And when I say that, it's about living righteousness. It's about caring for others, because all of the Scripture, all of the Law and the Prophets is summed up in two things. Right? Jesus told us, love God and love your neighbor. Right? We can do that. We need to be about doing it. If you believe today and you need to come, would you do that while we stand and sing?